I am in hopes that your faith might grow during the present crisis. We affirm our faith each week at Daleville Christian Church from God's Word. Today our affirmation is from Romans in the 8th chapter. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit you received does not make you slaves, so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship, and by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, your Son, our Savior, Jesus, taught us to pray for daily bread. Behold, we pray again today for the distress of the people of the world because of the pandemic. There is sickness and weariness. Lord, today there is exhaustion and death. There is mourning and crying. Heavenly Father, there is worry and fear as many face situations we have never faced before, doing things we've never done before. We pray as we seek to praise you today and always that our minds may grow calm in worshiping you, confident of your promised presence. Lord, you have seen our communities through many infectious diseases before we ever came to have faith in you. Lord, you have been with us through losses, disasters, and grief. We rely on your promises now as we ever have before. May the comfort and strength you gave in the past that helped us and helped others through, may they be shared now with us, as we may ever find our peace in you, our Lord and Savior, in whose name we pray. Amen. God's word for today is from John's Gospel in the 14th chapter, just the first four verses, with Jesus speaking. Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Other versions say, trust in God, trust also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I am going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I'm going. May the Lord add his blessing to this reading of his holy word. During this pandemic, I have had even more time available to read about the coronavirus, the president's responses to the pandemic, the 50 states' responses to the pandemic, what's being done about the virus, and what faith communities are doing. I don't mind telling you that I'm getting mighty tired of it. I think I heard a term used, pandemic fatigue. Yes, I'm sure that I have that, and you may have that ailment also. Many of us may be experiencing what can best be described as a fatigue about this pandemic. I'm not surprised that anyone wants to open things back up, as we are now saying. Of course we want things open again. Many of you know that I'm fond of pointing out the obvious. I find it helpful. It's a sort of reality check. I have a vivid imagination, so reality checks are important. So first of all, no one I know is old enough to have any living memory of the 1918 flu epidemic. Therefore, none of us has any experience in living in a pandemic. That is one obvious observation. The other is like it. As a pastor, I have had no experience leading a congregation in a pandemic. And if I get out of this alive, I'll be sure to put this experience of leading a church in a pandemic on my resume. As an historian, I know that many pastors have led congregations through pandemics, epidemics, and plagues. Learning from their experience is harder to do, even given the internet availability of many sources. Based on my observation of what's going on around us, very few people are reading or learning from America's experience in the 1918 flu epidemic. I can tell you, having focused on several presentations on America's flu epidemic of 1918, if you read about it, you would read things that are now very familiar to you. Reluctance and resistance to ordinances to close businesses and venues of what they called then places of public amusement, theaters, parks, etc. They also closed schools, churches, and synagogues, and once businesses had been closed, there was pressure to reopen them again. In most cases, the resurgence of the flu and resurging flu deaths in 1918 and 1919 forced communities to close the businesses a second time. By the way, there was no national leadership for the flu epidemic in 1918. There was no statewide leadership for the flu epidemic in 1918. All ordinances were local. It was every city for itself. I even listened to two doctors last week who were basically arguing for that very same thing. The coronavirus is not so bad here, they said. We don't need all these regulations. All I could think of is that if you think you don't have enough masks in your state, it's tough when individual states compete for those same scarce resources. So what happens if it were individual cities competing for scarce resources? I read that many rural hospitals are not well equipped to start with. What if they had to compete against big city hospitals or county hospitals for resources in the same states and in different states? It would be terrible. In 1918, they even had their own conspiracy theories. The Germans were being blamed for the flu epidemic. The flu epidemic hit before World War I was over. The rumor was that the Germans had brought the flu on a U-boat to America's shores to infect the U.S. There were protests and hate aimed at the Bayer Company. Yes, the ones who make the aspirin. Because Bayer is a German name. I think I've told you that although there is no clear agreement, many experts believe that the so-called Spanish flu began in the United States, in Kansas. So welcome to Pandemic 2020. We often have the blind leading the blind. And what does the Bible say about that? Because the Bible does say something about the blind leading the blind. Jesus said, "And if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch." Deuteronomy says, "The one who leads a blind person astray on the road is cursed, and all the people will say, Amen." So as a pastor with no experience, leading people with no experience, last week's sermon will be most helpful. We want to be cautious, wary, and on our guard. If I lead you astray, I get cursed. I'm going to be careful. I even read in media yesterday that even if we are cautious while we move forward blind, we can still stumble. I've tried to comfort myself by saying that since we've never done this before, I can't do it wrong. But friends, if one of us falls in a ditch, I'm getting blamed. See what I'm saying? Having said that, I want to notice some other realities around us. I notice the reality of fear. Fear comes most often with the things that are unknown. Most of us have had too much experience with fear of the unknown already. A lump in our body, a strange point on an X-ray, strange-looking growths in any of the organs. The doctor does not know what they are, and we certainly don't, so we all think we know where it's headed, and we don't like it. until the tests tell us that the growth is benign. The test shows that it is not cancer. But until then, many live in fear of cancer. I know a recovered cancer patient was told it was highly likely that the cancer would return. They have to put that fear in the back of their mind so they can function at home and at work. They wait every few months to be for the next test. Is it clear or is it cancer? Fear is all around us now because of the pandemic. Fear is all around us because there are so many unknowns around us. But my wife is an educator, often for children with special needs. E-learning can be done for some, but not for all students. What's to be done for them? And e-learning requires a certain sophistication with computers and software. The hardware and software issues present their own challenges, let alone the teaching aspect. There are ways to learn to use the programs, but what if your computer's too old to handle them? Frustration. Opportunities lost. Working for no progress, when it's your job to help students make progress. And others might say, at least you have a job, or at least you have income. True enough. Other fears are deeper and more distressing. Fear surrounds us. There is some answer to that for the followers of Jesus, as some of us have studied the book by Pastor John Ortberg entitled, If You Want to Walk on Water, You Have to Get Out of the Boat. And of course, you don't get out of the boat until Jesus is right there, right? You read that in God's Word. Do I need to repeat that? You don't get out of the boat, like Peter did, until Jesus is right there. But Pastor Ortberg, in his book, addressed the topic of fear, the most frequent command in the Bible. Don't be afraid. Maybe we need to reflect on that a little. Some fear that we have is a natural fear. Studies show babies fear of heights or a fear of falling. That would almost be an innate fear, wouldn't it? This fear is given us in our bodies, a necessary fear reaction that can mean our survival. The command to not be afraid in the Bible often comes from the Lord God himself or a messenger of God, an angel, for other very different and specific reasons. Do we hear, do not be afraid? First of all, it should be fairly natural to feel fear in the presence of the Almighty God or one of his messengers. We don't have enough of those experiences to be able to claim that we are familiar with our God if and when the Lord makes one of his dramatic entrances, which is often what we are shown in the Bible. Dramatic appearances, right? Memorable appearances in a burning bush, a vision, a dream, wrestling an angel. Experiences worth remembering. Experiences worth writing down. We are not told how fearful those God experiences might have been, but if they happened to you or me today, I admit I would be afraid. God's thoughts are not our thoughts, and God is all-powerful. Most of us experience fear as children in the presence of the thunder and the lightning, powerful, loud, and random noises that can rattle the child's house. If we, even as children, have that fear with thunder and lightning, what about adults in the presence of extreme power that seems to show up out of nowhere? So the voice of God and God's messenger first says to us mere mortals, do not be afraid. I believe that most of us recall that the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom, by which the Bible means respect or reverence, that is revering the Lord God. But if the fear we experience with thunder freezes us, or makes us faint, or makes us run away, if you respond to God that way, or God's messenger in those ways, the Lord God will not be able to give you the Lord God's message. Again, I get to state the obvious. Our Lord God wants to be heard. Our Lord God wants to communicate with us. But God's actual presence will always seem dramatic to us puny humans. God doesn't need to calm down. We're the ones who need to calm down when God shows up. When the Lord wants to communicate with us and shows up for that, we can't run away or be frozen. We need to show up and listen up. Don't be afraid. So once we can hear the Lord, and we are listening to the Lord, what's the Lord saying to the faithful? What is the Lord saying to the fearful faithful? Throughout the Bible, God's people have had reason to be afraid, and those fears are addressed in the Bible. People facing war, invasion, drought, city sieges, border incidents, border incursions, imprisonment, slavery, mass murder. We talked about disease last time. Jesus and Jesus' generation did not have any science or modern medicine or statistics to inform anyone about disease. Disease was then, in Jesus' day, seen as an enemy of the people. Sickness was also viewed as punishment. So Jesus the Messiah came healing, driving back the forces of darkness, driving back the forces of illness, illnesses of body, illnesses of mind, illnesses of the soul. Our Lord Jesus healed everyone who was brought to him, and Jesus healed them from all their diseases. The gospel writers are insistent to say. Matthew repeats it 3 times. Jesus was healing every sickness and disease. So Jesus is with us now and for us in our present fight against the coronavirus. Jesus is with us and for us in our fight against the pandemic. And that's the first thing to remember when we are afraid or we feel fear. Our Lord God is indeed with us, and the Lord God is for us. I hope that you already know those Bible facts. And therefore, you may go to the Lord in prayer, and that your prayers will be heard. I'll come back to this. Part of the fears we discover in our country at this time is that some people are not as afraid of the disease of COVID-19 as they are afraid of our government. People more afraid of the government than disease would include protesters demanding a reopening of the country while they protest without practicing social distancing and do not wear masks. Others who fear the government are religious organizations who fear even a temporary shutdown of worship gatherings. And in so proclaiming their right to worship, they often proclaim their lack of fear of coronavirus, using words like not afraid, or even claiming that the spread of the disease from worship gatherings was a false claim. The Bible reminds us that Jesus never showed any fear of the government authorities. Jesus showed no fear of government authorities, even knowing that he, Jesus, would die at the hands of those very same authorities. Jesus was not afraid. However, Jesus was cautious of government authorities. When John the Baptist was arrested, Jesus moved on to Galilee. Was Jesus afraid? No. But Jesus may have been cautious of the Herod family or certain members of the Herod family. It states that Jesus withdrew. This would be in keeping with the teaching of the Proverbs. Proverbs 12:26, the righteous person is cautious with respect to his neighbor. And in more than one version, or Proverbs 14:16, one who is wise is cautious and turns away from evil. Another version states, the wise are careful and avoid evil. Alcoholics Anonymous says it this way, if you don't want to fall down, stay out of slippery places. It isn't a profound wisdom, but it is wisdom. Maybe for some folks, it's just easier to confront the government than it is to confront the virus. Staying home or using a mask for many Americans doesn't seem like doing anything. It feels like doing nothing. However, I thought that Governor Cuomo of New York said it well. He stated it in one of his addresses. If you stayed home today, you may have saved someone's life. Hey, I've told you, when I was a kid, I wanted to be a hero. Maybe today, I am a hero. Maybe. One leading pastor just outright said, I'm not afraid of dying. Well, I'm not afraid of dying either, but I am afraid of not living long enough. The Apostle Paul wasn't afraid of dying either, but the Apostle did see value in continuing to live and keep serving the Lord. Paul even claimed to say that it would be a tough choice if he was called to choose. I just do not read in the Bible where Jesus asks people to take personal safety risks. Anyone is welcome to correct me. If you find a Bible passage, Jesus said we don't have to look for trouble because trouble will find us. A disciple is not better than his master, Jesus said. And Jesus, when trouble did find Jesus in Jerusalem, happened at the right time, just as Jesus said. So, looking at all of this fear around us, we might want to ask, what is it that we fear? What is it we fear? And then we can take that fear to the Lord. And then we can pray with assurance. I read a National Christian Leader in a whole article about how we need to trust the Lord now. I understand that. You and I can quote a number of scriptures about trusting the Lord and trusting in the Lord. And I know that you understand that. However, as one who has had to trust the Lord in many things, I want to ask, what exactly am I trusting the Lord for? I do not trust the Lord to keep me well or safe, especially if I place myself in harm's way. As I'm fond of saying, no one can lie down in the middle of the interstate and expect to live to tell about it. And Jesus never asked anyone to do that. I cannot be safe from persecution, can I? I'm not promised safety if I am persecuted. The deacon Stephen was publicly executed. Paul was there. Paul was imprisoned and barely escaped with his own life at least twice. So do I think that I will be safe? Not at all. So I pray for discernment that I might be cautious. And also can quote Jesus to say, beware, variously translated, watch out, be on your guard, beware of these men. I also marvel at Jesus' words to a man of great faith. I've preached about him many times. His name comes down to us as Jairus, a ruler of the synagogue. Jairus came to Jesus and fell at Jesus' feet, a sign of worship and certainly of obeisance. Jairus came to Jesus pleading for Jairus' daughter's healing. To make a long story short, you can find it in two of our Gospels, news comes that the daughter has died. Jesus states, don't be afraid, just believe. Well, Jairus already believed that Jesus could heal his daughter. What was Jairus to believe now that his daughter was dead? But Jesus said, don't be afraid, just believe. We cannot know what Jairus was thinking when Jesus spoke to him, but we can observe that Jairus continued with his original plan to get Jesus to his daughter. And even though Jairus' friend said, give it up, Jairus, your daughter is dead, Jairus did not change his plan. Jairus continued to move to get Jesus to his daughter's side. Jairus had at least as much faith to believe that Jesus could heal his daughter, and Jairus hung on to that much faith. In my mind, it would be quite a leap for Jairus to believe that Jesus the healer could raise the dead. If Jairus had that much faith, Jairus' plea to Jesus would not have had to be so urgent. But Jairus didn't give up the little faith that Jairus had. We saw this also with Lazarus' sister, yes? She said as much, "Jesus, if you had come sooner, my brother would not have died." She had basically said, "Jesus, I had faith in you, you would have healed him." Yes, Martha had faith. And Jesus responded to even that much faith in Jesus' healing power. Jesus responded to the faith that Martha had, and Jesus showed Martha the fruit of Martha's faith when Martha witnessed her brother coming out of the tomb fully healed and untouched by the decay of death. But I'm not here to guarantee you any results from your prayers. I'm here to encourage you to be faithful in prayer. I'm not here to guarantee you any results from your prayers. Our Lord is in charge of the results. Our job, I understand, is to be faithful in prayer. I'm here to encourage you and me to be faithful in prayer even through our fears. Jesus said, "Don't be afraid, just believe." In one of Jesus' parables that have come down to us, Luke recorded it this way, "Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up." I mentioned a few weeks ago, you and I can always pray more. Jesus said, "Don't be afraid, just believe."